This is Alan Karpik with Tom Dienhart with a Saturday edition of Golden Black Radio Express and our Saturday chat. I want to thank our sponsors, Home Field Apparel, First Source Bank, East End Grill, Purdue Federal, The Dive, Follett's, Charters Team Remax Ability Plus. And we also want to mention three Lafayette area restaurants that are also doing carryout during this quarantine time, and that's Arnie's and, of course, Bruno's and Whitaker Inn, which will also join The Dive, is doing carryout currently. And Tom, a trip down memory lane again as we look at our experiences growing up in West Lafayette. And you're a little bit younger than I am, 5 years, but you have the opportunity to go to Mackey Arena. What do you remember your first time that you set foot in that great old facility?
Yeah, my memories, I guess, for me, begin in the mid-1970s. John Garrett, you know, Bruce Parkinson, Mike Steele, sort of that era. And I talked to Bruce Parkinson this last winter when he was going in, or got elected to the Hall of Fame at Purdue, and I shared a quick memory with him as a kid. Every Christmas, my grandfather would take us to the Elk Club out there, down 52, you know, for like a big Christmas dinner. And Bruce Parkinson was out there eating, and I remember I walked over to him and got his autograph. I probably still have it somewhere. So that's where it begins for me, Alan. And in the late 70s, the Walter Jordan teams, the Wayne Walls, and Joe Barry later, and onward. So, yeah, just a lot of great memories walking in that arena from my grandparents' house. And you know, even back then, as you know, Alan, it was a crazy loud place.
Yeah, it absolutely was. And I was, again, being a little bit older, had the opportunity to go to the first game in that facility, and of course, Purdue-UCLA on December 2nd, 1967. And that was my birthday present for birthday number 8. That was about, I don't know what the face value of those tickets were, but I do remember looking at photos from that game, all the people dressed in, mostly men in suit coats in the lower arena with coats and ties. And I remember I sat in the upper arena and just couldn't imagine that the place was standing. It seemed like most of the game, and how loud it was. And of course, that game went down to the wire. Purdue had a chance in the last minute to kind of seal it away. Rick Mount, who had played in his first game that day, I think had 27 or 28 points, but missed a jumper in the last minute or so. And Bill Sweek hits a near half-court shot, really probably about a 40-footer at the buzzer to beat Purdue in that one. But that's when it got started for me. It was unbelievable in those first 3 years because, of course, Rick Mount, Herman Gilliam, Billy Keller, but those tickets were so hard to get. And our family I had five siblings. I think we had four tickets all told. So we'd battle it out. And my dad, I didn't get to go to all of them, but I got a chance to go to a few of them. And that was a big deal for me to be at that first one, that's for sure. But you talk about how loud it was. And, you know, I don't know if you remember, there were some IU games in the mid-70s when Indiana was riding high in their 36-game Big Ten winning streak and undefeated in regular season in both 1975 and 1976. Unreal how loud that facility was at that time.
Yeah, you're right, Alan. Like I said, today it's the same. And boy, you know, like you, we didn't have enough tickets for everybody in my family either. We only had two. My mother and father both worked at the university, but I had a sister. And especially in those Joe Barry Carroll eras, we really would fight over who got to go to the games. And before that, Alan, just, you know, the memories of the Pep Band. And I remember when they would introduce the players, they had like a Purdue rug. The cheerleaders would roll out towards center court. And I remember the players had a black and gold basketball. I remember they'd get in a line and they'd do like a tip drill. One after the other, they'd tip the ball off the backboard. Then finally, after about 12 guys, the last guy would grab it and just dunk it through the hoop to finish it off. So those memories of the alley-oops to Joe Barry Carroll on the roof coming off Mackey Arena, when they would do that. And some of the games, Alan, we've talked about too. The Magic Johnson game in the late 70s, when Arnett Holman beat them. I remember in ninth grade watching Syracuse come with Roosevelt Bowie and Marty Head and Louis Orr, and on and on it goes. Just some of those iconic games I was able to be a part of too over the years, I always recall.
You know, and those games were unbelievable. Those two you were mentioned about Syracuse, a Sunday game, and it was a big deal back in those times.
National TV was pretty rare.
And Al McGuire, Dick Enberg, and Billy Packer on NBC at the time. And the first one of those was in 1977, in February 77, and that was when Joe Barry Carroll was a freshman. And John Wooden, I believe, was on the broadcast crew actually at that point in time. And it was the first of the NBC. It was the first time NBC started doing Sunday games in basketball. And it became a huge deal. I remember that one because not only did Purdue beat Indiana in 77, that was the year that Purdue stopped Indiana's consecutive Big Ten winning streak, I believe at 36 games, down in Bloomington. They come back up to Mackey Arena, and Purdue beats them again. Kent Benson was the lone holdover, I think, of that those great IAU teams in 77, and he had a back injury at the end of that game. I remember that. It was took about 5 minutes. He was laying on the court. But Joe Barry Carroll, and the place was just nuts. And I remember the PA, I think the PA man, Rick Miles, and his dad had done the games before. Jim Miles, I think, was the first PA public address announcer at Mackey Arena. But Rick, you know, they do just whip the crowd into a frenzy. They would do, you know, hey, in 30 seconds, we're going to be joining live in a national television audience. And the place would just go nuts. I mean, now, you know, every game is on national TV. But back then, it was such a huge deal. Yeah. And Joe Barry Carroll, certainly as a freshman, even on Fred Schaus's team, was a big deal also because he was one of the leaders in the country in blocks. And I do remember Purdue winning that game. But I do remember Louie and Bowie, Louie Orr, Roosevelt Bowie, and then Marty Head. You got a great memory there because that bald-headed Marty Head, unbelievable. Purdue had that game won and had a bunch of turnovers late in the game, lose to Syracuse on a Sunday, a team that the Boilermaker team in 1980 goes to the Final Four, but loses that game. And that was those games were a big deal because, again, Mackey Arena was sold out. And though I actually technically, I don't know, sure it was sold out for the Syracuse game, but it was absolutely a crazed environment to be sure.
Think about this, Alan. Jim Boeheim is still the head coach of Syracuse. That was 40 years ago, and unbelievable. But, yeah, a few other memories I know we've talked about that always were popping in my head here as you were talking. Talked about the year, I think it was 78, when there was a coal strike and
right.
playing Michigan State like on a Thursday at 4 in the afternoon. I'll never forget that, Alan. Of course, the blizzard game against Minnesota. I remember going there, and there were maybe 2,000 people at the game. You could kind of sit anywhere you wanted because of the weather conditions. And Gene Katie's first year, I still have the program. It was just like a little piece of cardboard. Duke comes into Mackey Arena with a rookie head coach named Mike Krzyzewski to play Gene Katie's first team as well. That always sticks in my head now. And you talked about the PA announcer getting the crowd ripped up, you know, whipped up in a frenzy back in the late 70s. I remember as a student, Troy Lewis and those guys, remember they'd bring the San Diego Chicken in.
How big
he was, and the crowd just loved the San Diego Chicken as well. And Troy Lewis's mother would go on the court sometimes and dance. So those are some great memories I recall of the fans going nuts too, and some great opponents and great games.
Yeah, we had and I was working in the athletic department, a game when they played, I think the Yugoslav or Bulgarian national team, and I think we had very cheap tickets. It was an exhibition game. We had brought in the San Diego Chicken and had maybe 10,000, 12,000 fans, but that was also because a lot of expectation. I think that was the 86-87 year. And I look at that in terms of the opportunity to go to those games early on. Those two Indiana games, like I said, both losses for Purdue, but when Indiana was running through the Big Ten with Scott May and Steve Green and Quinn Buckner and Kent Benson, 75 and 76, two of the most the loudest games that I can ever remember from start to finish. And of course, I think the first one, Purdue loses by a point, 83-82, and then the following year they lose 74-71 in a game that, again, just you go to those games and you'd be just completely exhausted when you left. That's what I remember. And another one that I remember in a year that two games, and when Purdue won the NIT in 74, The 73-74 season was Frank Kendrick, John Garrett, Bruce Parkinson, Jerry Nichols, et cetera, on that team. Two games that I remember. One, the Purdue-Michigan game, where Purdue was trailing in double digits in the second half. Steve Grody, Campy Russell from Michigan, and Purdue mounted a great comeback, ended up winning that game. Nichols breaks his nose. I can remember the blood being all over the court. And Purdue comes back, wins that game. It was a huge win for Purdue, though the Boilermakers finished third that year and ended up being relegated to the NIT as Indiana and Michigan tied for the Big Ten. But that was an unbelievable game. And a game that Purdue didn't come back, 1974, also was with David Thompson, Tom Burleson, Monty Tau, North Carolina State, who ended up winning the national championship that year, comes in. Purdue leads by double digits at halftime, I believe, and Jerry Nichols, playing with a mask because it was 5 days after his broken nose against Michigan, he comes in, plays David Thompson, the great all-time great player from North Carolina State, and who could jump out of the gym. And remember, dunking wasn't legal at that time, so they'd have those alley-oop passes, he'd just lay it in. Purdue held him to 2 points in the first half, but I think he had 24 in the second, and the Boilermakers couldn't hold on, but I just remember that one. I can remember how I felt. I think I had them. This is not a thing you want to talk about in terms of a virus, but I had a flu or something, and was sitting in Mackey Arena getting through that game, as I recall. But unbelievable experience and how loud that facility was.
Yeah, you think of the players. You talked about David Thompson. Lou Alcindor was there for the debut. The guys, the greatness that has been on that court over the years, Al. And again, I flash back to my eighth grade year, 78, 79. I think in that same year, Magic was there, and Larry Bird and Indiana State came up. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Beat Purdue. Purdue went down there, I think, the year before and got beaten Terre Haute. And then Larry Bird came up to West Lafayette, I think his last year as a Sycamore, and they beat Purdue in Mackey Arena. And, of course, Magic and Bird went on that very year to play in that iconic title game out in Salt Lake City. So unbelievable players, Alan. And one of my other, I guess, non-basketball memories was at halftime walking up that concourse, and the concourse would be packed. And back then, the cigarette smoke.
Hey, that's right.
The cigarette smoke in that concourse. I'd stand by my dad and let me buy a Coke and a packet of M&Ms. Of course, Alan, I couldn't take any of my M&Ms back to my seat back then.
Yeah.
With the cigarette smoke. The thing now, you can't smoke, but you can buy alcohol. It's incredible how times change. But, yeah, just that memory too sticks with my head.
Yeah, I remember Jim. I think it was Jim Miles, who was Rick's dad, he'd say, smoking is not allowed in the arena, but is allowed on the concourse. That was his booming voice that was such a big part of that. And I remember, like I said, a couple of somewhat obscure games. Certainly that 70, I think it was the 76. There were two Blizzard games, but there was one game against Minnesota where they let the students come in, because campus was closed down because of the blizzard, but they just basically let the students in, and there were people sitting in the aisles, and there was like you said, a smaller crowd, but then all of a sudden the student body just came in, and there probably was 10,000 students.
Okay.
And that, as I recall, unbelievable, because Kevin McHale, Michael Thompson, a guy named Ray Williams, who was a longtime NBA player, came in. Purdue with Walter Jordan, Wayne Walls, I think that was Carroll's first year. It might have been the year of Kyle Mason.
That would have been the Blizzard of 78.
Yeah, okay. And maybe that was the following year. But still, Carroll and would have been a sophomore that year. But be that as it may, unreal memories from that. And I also remember the and again, you would have been probably too young, the bomb scare game, and that was not making light of it, but I think it was the 1972 season. And William Franklin, Purdue's center at the time from Virginia, there were fisticuffs. The only time I can ever recall actual punches thrown in Mackey Arena between Brad Van Pelt, who ended up being an NFL, was he a Hall of Famer? But he was
very
a great NFL
for
player for the New York Giants, and Franklin went duked it out on the court very quickly. Both, I think, were ejected from the game. And then I remember there was bomb scares at that time were kind of in vogue. They would call them in. I don't know. And I just remember looking up over at my dad and I said, "Are we leaving?" And he goes, "No, we're not leaving." And I don't think that many people left. They had called in a bomb scare to Mackey Arena. And I think Purdue beats Gus Gonakis in Michigan State, the head coach there, William Franklin, the original Big Dog. William Franklin, he named himself the Big Dog in a game against the Big Cat, Bob Lanier. That's another story for a road game, but Bob Lanier goes for 50 on the Big Dog, William Franklin, in those days. But, yeah, just you can go on and on about it, but it was the environment is what made it special and is what has really – and I think since that first game, I mean, it has not changed in terms of the expectations. You know, it's expected to be loud in there, and it's the bleacher seats that always have been there. Now, of course, there are some chair back seats, but very much the case.
Yeah, bomb scares and streakers right from the 70s. And,
yeah.
I always remember, I think the capacity was 14,123 people in Mackey Arena. And, you know, you wrote recently about an iconic game, the 1993, you know, Big Dog versus the Fab Five game. You want to talk about monumental. And then I talked to Troy Lewis a month or so ago, and I asked him for his memories, and he says maybe the loudest game for him, Alan, was when Louisville came there, maybe his junior or senior year. He said he looked over at Todd Mitchell, sort of put his hands up like he didn't know what's going on. It was so loud he couldn't hear anything. So the Louisville game, of course, they had some great matchups with the boys over the years, too.
Yeah, Louisville and Iowa played back-to-back games. That would have been January of 87. Again, Purdue was so eager for national television exposure. You can imagine that. And Purdue had an ABC game on that Sunday against Louisville. They brought in the portable lights and special lighting, because Mackey Arena lighting at the time
was
not made for television. I mean, it was made for to light the court. And, of course, you had that raised floor there back in the old days before the Mackey Arena renovation. And kind of like Williams Arena, not the same, but there was some similarities. You had to take steps up to the court. And Williams Arena, of course, in Minnesota. But those two games in 86-87 – or excuse me, the 87, they Purdue beats Louisville, the defending national champions. Not a great Louisville team, but Purvis Ellison on that team.
Yeah.
And it was crazy. But the following night, they played Iowa, kept the special lights in there, play Iowa and Brad Lowhouse and Roy Marble and all those folks. And Purdue loses that game. Yeah, B.J. Armstrong lose that game. Late in the game to the Iowa Hawkeyes. I think Iowa left that game the number one team in the country, believe it or not. And yet Purdue went out later in that year, won a share of the Big Ten championship, and beat Iowa on the road. But that was a great one. And the other one, I think, you know, you go back to you mentioned the Magic Johnson. The two Magic Johnson memories that you kind of touched on, the Cole Strike game. I was playing high school basketball or sitting on the bench on high school basketball. We had practice, so I wasn't able to go to that game the first time Magic Johnson appeared in Mackey Arena. That was a 4 o'clock start, and the reason why is because they were conserving energy, and so they weren't allowed to turn the lights on. You had to keep the lights off basically at a minimum in the evenings. So they did. So that game was played, and Purdue just blew out Johnson and company 99-80. That 1978 team, 77-78 team, I can remember also kind of their first Midnight Madness, and they had 10 or 11,000 people in Mackey Arena for that team. A lot of expectations. Team was, I think, ranked 12th to start the season, but there were people. I can remember I had a T-shirt that said Purdue basketball 1978 national champions. Not only did they not win the national championship, unfortunately, they didn't even make the NCAA tournament. Walter Jordan, Wayne Walls, Eugene Parker's senior year. But I remember that one vividly. And then, of course, the shot that Arnett Hallman made. I was a basketball manager that my freshman year. And Lee Rose, it was the first time Purdue had ever taken a victory lap. And I can remember going into the locker room after Hallman hits the shot, the only basket he made that game to beat number one Michigan State. I think it was 52-50. And I remember going into the locker room and Lee Rose saying, let's, you know, coming up with the idea, let's do a victory lap. And they came out, and Rose, I believe, led them out. They ran around the court. I think Judd Heathcote, who was the head coach at Michigan State at the time, wasn't all that enamored with that idea. Even though they were well in the locker room, I do remember that they brought Magic Johnson, his first year in the NBA, back to Jenison Fieldhouse in a game, I think, the following year, and did some kind of thing and stopped play. And that was kind of a turnabout as fair play for Judd Heathcote on Lee Rose, though Purdue did win that game. But it is those are two iconic memories from that. And the fact that, again, you know, Purdue had some great comebacks in that building, and they were used to winning in that facility. In fact, I think Rick Mount only lost two or three games, and you know, I'd be remiss in not recalling obviously the most highest scoring game in the history of the Big Ten in terms of an individual, Rick Mount's 61-point game against Iowa in February of 1970, a game that Purdue loses. I would recommend, it's on the internet, I think you can find it on YouTube, it's John DeCamp's call of that game in 1970, just to listen to how loud the crowd was throughout the course of that game. Of course, a technical call on Purdue's crowd, Purdue loses that game 108-107.
Well, Alan, too, I remember, a little more contemporary, although it's 25 or so years ago, but Big Dog scoring 49 points against Illinois. You know what, Alan? Since that game, sometime in 1994, I don't think any Big Ten player scored as many points in a game. To me, Allen averaged, he led the nation in scoring, a 30-point average, led the Big Ten in rebounding, led his team to a Big Ten title, led his team to a number one seed. I mean, the Big Dog still to this day doesn't get the just due he deserves on how dominating he was. I know you saw Rick Mount. I wasn't old enough to really remember him, but 49 points, Big Dog against Illinois, unreal. And then lastly for me, Alan, too, Bob Knight. I don't think we mentioned his name once.
Yeah.
Which is no big deal to me, but I never forget sitting in those bleachers, and when before the game the teams are warming up, when he would walk on down that tunnel onto the court and fans could see him, boy, the crowd, the boos, the catcalls as Bob Knight walked down that ramp onto the floor to the bench was just unreal.
Yeah, and Knight, it was the event of the year. I mean, I think we'd be remiss in talking about memories, and that really started, I think, really after Bob Knight got going in earnest after Bob Knight put the donkey on his show in 1981 on his coach's show to kind of make fun of George King and the Purdue mentality, and it just
ramped. And that's on YouTube.
Yeah, and that is an all time deal, and it would just be. And Knight knew good theater when he saw it.
He would always wait
to the last minute or two to come in, and he occasionally, very politically incorrect, but he would fake like he was patting the rear end of a Purdue cheerleader or a dance squad member from a distance. But he would do that too. I remember seeing that. He probably wouldn't own up to that at this point. But it was great theater, and the vitriol that the Purdue fan base.
Man.
You know, I always thought that when Knight left Indiana or was shown the door at Indiana in 2000, that rivalry has not ever been quite the same.
No, it really
and never will be. And his trip to Mackey Arena, Purdue often had its way with Knight and company in Mackey, but those memories were unbelievable from that standpoint. So you have those games, and I think he would be the number one villain in the history of the building. Now, you know, Purdue fans look back at Knight pretty fondly, but very different was back in those days, to be sure.
It was great. Like you said, every good story's got to have a villain, and he was the ultimate villain. And like you said, that was one of the hottest tickets annually, Alan. And then I remember you were working at Purdue then, the Indiana-Purdue game in Mackey in 1988.
Right.
I mean, that was another blow the roof off type of an event. So, you know, we could go on and on. But, again, the memory for me, I still have a lot of my programs down. That was one thing. Some of the memory for me was walking in. My dad buying a program, and it always has the Keith Butts illustrations on.
Yeah.
Remember the Keith Butts illustrations?
Right.
I mean, they were a lot of fun. I love the keeping score up. Like I said, I still have them all. And I remember watching Alabama coming there. In the late 70s, on and on I can go, but And that was another fun memory for me, was buying a program with the Keith Butts illustrations on them.
Oh, yeah, they were a lot of fun, to be sure. So this will be to be continued. We'll talk more of those as time goes on. But we do hope everybody out there is doing well. And, Tom, everybody in your family at this point,
we're hanging
through okay?
We just got luxury problems, Alan.
Yeah.
When you watch the national news and you find yourself complaining about anything, you kind of readjust yourself and make you shut your mouth, you know?
Yeah, no question. And the same way here, we're all hanging in there. I think it is certainly a time for reflection, but also a time that we can recall the good memories that we had watching Purdue basketball as kids, and those days will come again. So I want to thank our sponsors: Home Field Apparel, First Source Bank, East End Grill, Purdue Federal, The Dive, Follett's, Charters Team, Remax, Ability Plus, for their sponsorship of our Golden Black Radio. We're greatly appreciative, and we'll be back next week with another edition of our Saturday chat for Golden Black Radio Express. Have a great week, everybody.